Amen, amen. Bless the wonderful name of Jesus. We welcome you back to our Thursday evening Bible study. And saints, my prayer is for everyone under the sound of my voice, grow in the word tonight. There was a song that we used to sing at a previous church I went to, and that's, if you ever needed the Lord, you need him now. And truly, we do need the Lord in this day and time. There are so many things happening to where we really need to grasp and hold on to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to continue with 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to finish that chapter. We only did half of it last week. But we want to review a few things. In the first chapter, we learned Paul instructed Timothy to remain at Ephesus that he might charge some that they teach no other doctrine, and not to give heed to fables and endless genealogies. As a word of encouragement to all of us, we must be careful to who and what we listen to, because those who listen to these things can be swerved and turned aside to foolish talking. Then there were those that desired to teach and didn't understand what they were teaching. Two things we know. We know that the law is good if any man use it lawfully. We know the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. And we have to hold faith with a good conscience. Now in chapter 2, we learned Paul talked to Timothy about prayer. He exhorted him that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, we all need prayer. Amen. The question was asked, what is prayer? How do we pray? How often and what language? We know prayer is a dialogue or communication with Father, and our thoughts and attitudes are united with his thoughts. We pray according to his word. We should pray without ceasing, meaning all the time. Mm-hmm. We should be in continuous communication with Father God. And God knows every language that exists. You can speak to God in any language, mm-hmm. as long as it is in order. We should pray for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Yes. God does not wish for anyone to be lost, but it is the choice of each person to choose salvation. Again, Ezekiel said, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live. So with that, let's look at verse 8 in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. When praying, we must free our mind of doubt and anger. Psalms tells us that lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord.
Amen.
Did you know today, more Jesus, women can pray mm-hmm. out loud in the church
Amen.
As well as the men. Men are not the only ones that God talks to mm-hmm. and are not the only ones God talks and listens to. Our prayers are to be holy, accompanied with faith and love, without wrath and doubting. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 3:17 said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And it also says in Galatians, faith works by love.
Amen.
Look at verse 9. In like manner, also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Paul was addressing excessive attire of how they dressed. Women back then, and even today, can go to an extreme. What you wear should not stand out or draw attention to yourself. The NIV said they should dress modestly, decent, and with propriety. Propriety means avoid anything that would cause shame. Mm-hmm. What many are wearing today brings shame, and it is beginning to show up in the church. One writer said, there is no need of paint, no need of eyeliner around the eyes and eyelids, no need of braided hair, for she herself is most beautiful. Broided hair, same as braided hair, there is nothing wrong with braiding the hair. It has many advantages and purposes for women today. But back then, what they did was to bring attention to themselves. Shamefacedness is described as shy or bashful. But I believe a better word to describe it would be to be humble. Sobriety means serious. One definition says absent of alcohol, gold or pearls or costly array. Again, there is nothing wrong with jewelry, but it says in modest apparel. Mm-hmm. Some women put on so much jewelry from the head to the toe with piercings everywhere until you can't see the woman because of what she has on. All is for show, drawing attention to herself. And let me say this. Men have become just as bad with tattoos and carvings in the head, which only draws attention and doesn't glorify God. Listen to what God said to the women of Israel at that time in Isaiah chapter 3, starting to verse 16. That's Isaiah chapter 3, starting at 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because of the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tingle with their feet. Do you see women dressing like this today? Walking and flaunting themselves just to be seen. The women of Israel got this from the world. Where do you think our women get it from? Verse 17. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tingling ornaments about their feet, and their cauls and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels. Piercing nose was going on way back then. The changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen, the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth. And burning instead of beauty. Saints, don't get this all twisted and say, you can't wear or do anything. Again, that is an extreme that they went to. There's nothing wrong with earrings. Nothing wrong with glasses and fine linen. There's nothing wrong with perfume or bracelets. But women then and now are going around tattooing their bodies, shaving their head, piercing the body everywhere. And many of these things cannot be reversed. And when you get older, your skin wrinkles. You'll be saying, I shouldn't have, or your grandchildren will be saying, what is that? But as it was said earlier, no need, for yourselves are most beautiful. Amen. 1 Peter 2:2-3 said to the women, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. The apostle refers the Grecian and Roman dressing as this. It was a long piece of cloth or clothing doubled in the middle. It was sewed up on both sides, leaving room only for the arms at the top. A piece was cut out, which allowed the head to pass through. It hung down to the feet, both before and behind, and was girded round the body. If you think about it, this is basically describes the custom of how the Muslims dress. They cover their whole body as so nothing can be seen. To them, this is what they call modest. I know this clothing is not our custom. I don't believe we have to go to the extreme to cover up, but we could be a little more modest in our attire. We could show a little less up top, a little less at the bottom, and a little less in the middle, and maybe wear everything a little loose. Anybody know what I'm trying to say? Verse 10 in 1 Timothy says, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Women are supposed to be godly, not seductive. 1 Peter 3:4 said, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Verse 11, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. The NIV says, learn in quietness, subjection being all readiness to receive. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Paul didn't expect unlearned women to refrain from learning. It was their culture that kept them from learning. That was the problem. A woman attempting to teach in public or private then was prohibited by the Roman laws. Many cultures today are still adamant about this. In some countries, women cannot teach, cannot drive, cannot uncover their head or even learn. In my opinion, we are under different circumstances today. This is also one of the controversial subjects about women. Many still believe if they learn, it would mean they would be placed above men. But there were biblical women even then that taught. There was Aquila and Priscilla, who were husband and wife. There was Lois and Eunice, the grandmother and mother of Timothy. The Philippians gave a level of independence to women in this period. Women can teach in the church, but they still should not usurp or assume authority over a man. In other words, they should not take authority over the man. The scripture still holds true. The head of the man is Christ. The head of the woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. Amen. God still has an order. But this does not mean a woman is inferior. It does not mean God does not talk to her or through her. It does not mean she cannot speak, teach, even preach. For too long, we have boxed God based upon the cultures and customs of our nations. A wife can instruct her unbelieving husband. Peter even speaks of a husband being won by the chaste conversation of the wife. Women may instruct their children and families. And Titus, Paul instructed the aged women to be teachers of good things and teach the young women.
Yes.
Then in verse 13, it says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. We understand Adam was first formed. We know Eve was deceived and was in the transgression or violated the commandment of God. There is no argument or disagreement. Paul points out here the order of creation in the beginning. The order of creation, Adam was the provider. Eve should not have acted independently. We do know Adam was wrong for not saying anything. He was there as her consultant. But Eve allowed herself to be deceived by not consulting her husband. Adam was not deceived. He sinned with his eyes wide open. Because Adam did not protect Eve, she suffered the consequences of these actions. And because of this, the childbearing Eve suffers is handed down to all generations. What I see in this is the choice we make. Even though we do what we do, being man or woman, there are consequences that bite us later. Mm-hmm. And those consequences can fall and follow our children. Things we decide to do in life can affect those around us physically, financially, emotionally, and mentally. Adam and Eve didn't know or see or understand the full impact of what the consequences would be. And we cannot see in the future of our choices either. But we do have a chance to avoid the consequences of them. Eve's consequence was in her childbearing. In verse 15 it says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Some thought the apostle to mean that though sin first entered by the woman, this is where all the pain and sorrows of childbearing originated. And it would bring it to remembrance of her daughters in every age. Yet they who profess the gospel of Christ should be comforted by the hope of being supported and preserved through the trying season, and they might be assured there is no curse or wrath in it. Yet through those sorrows, those who come into the world, born of a woman, by whom all those would be saved, who continue in the faith, Eve, who the apostle mentioned, was addressed by God saying, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children. Eve thought she would be saved through childbearing or by one descended from her. Eve thought her first son, Cain, was the seed that should save her. For she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. But she was mistaken. It was done through her continued childbearing until Seth was born. In like manner, her daughters, though they were sentenced of bringing forth children with sorrow, they also would have with her the same salvation, joy, and blessings to the promised seed if they followed her example of faith and obedience. And if you even think about when a woman brings forth a child, though she goes through the things that she goes through, once that has passed, she has joy. She has love, blessings through the promised seed. And because of Jesus, today, many women do not go through the pain in childbirth as they did then. But they do have safety, salvation, joy, and blessings through the promised seed of Jesus Christ and must continue in faith. My time is up, and I thank you for yours.